The Sports Cast, July 1st, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, twitch.tv, YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts. And if you're an Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And, of course, visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, or on Twitter. You could look us up there at our The Sports Cast 1. And, of course, download our app, The Sports Cast. The Euros round of 16 is completed. A few surprises. Two big teams are out, but that's the expectations from a Euro Cup. We got Jaime Fernandez all the way from Hollywood, Florida. Just came back from Mexico, and he's feeling jubilant because Spain went up 5-3. Welcome back to The Sports Cast.
Thank you, Santiago. Yes, Spain. I'm so happy.
So, Spain beat Croatia 5-3. Whole lot of goals. This was probably Spain's best game. What were your thoughts?
Well, it was a tough game. Of course, we were better, like possession wise, statistics and. In general, Spain was playing better, but after that mistake, which I give, you know, if I need to blame it, I blame it on Pedri 50% and Unai Simón 50%, because the pass was not really good, but the control, of course, he didn't control it at all. So on goal, it's crazy. This Euro Cup, we've seen so many on goals, and after that, Spain, you know, they keep fighting, they tie the game really quick, and then. You know, two more goals, which I thought it was going to be like that. 3-1, that's it. But, man, Croatia, they fight till the last minute. I knew they were going to fight, but no, I didn't expect two goals. And then extra time, crazy, right?
What do you think about Spain's performance in this tournament so far?
Well,
honest to God.
We started with so many doubts. We started with, you know, we didn't win the first two games. So that put us already in the spot, like, oh, are Spain one of the favorites? I don't think so. They tie. But if you watch those games, it was kind of like bad luck. It was not like, oh, Spain doesn't play anything. No, he plays good, but we were having bad luck. But after, of course, the third game, it was like sudden death, basically. There was people even telling, oh, but if we tie, we might be able to go through. I'm like, are we kidding? We're talking about a tie against Slovakia. Come on, we need to win this game. And of course, and not only the fans, everybody was thinking, come on, Spain, you need to demonstrate that we're here. And yeah, 5-0, that was like amazing. And of course, this happened all the time. Every time you win a game like 5-0, everybody in the squad, they get super motivated. Like they know what is coming is going to be better.
Now, before the tournament, you weren't a big fan of Luis Enrique. Has he been growing on you?
No, not at all.
Why not? And what's going on with his tactics? What makes you differ with him?
Well, it's the fact that, you know, he's been like trying so many things and you know, what I like is he's been using all his players, which is fine. That we love that because we love to see different players. And I need to recognize he brought Sarabia, which barely played for PSG, and he's been one of the best. But at the same time, the first two games, he put Llorente in the right back, which is not his position, we already know. But he insists, let me put Llorente in the back. He was wrong. He ended up correcting that mistake, putting Azpilicueta in the third game, and obviously against Croatia, also Azpilicueta. So, I mean, it's not only about the Luis Enrique thing. I mean, it's kind of like, I'm not convinced.
He's not Del Bosque.
He's not Del Bosque, no.
Alvaro Morata, obviously a lot of talk about him. Is he gelling with the team well so far?
Well, it happens a little bit with what I was telling you about Luis Enrique, right? Like, Alvaro Morata is honestly not one of my favorites. First two games, he had a lot of chances. He missed a lot. Usually, I mean, he's an offside. Like, it's not, It's not that I don't have nothing against him. It's just like it's not my type of striker. But he shut our mouths one by one in the last game. Because not only he did amazing 120-minute game, on top of that, he scored such an amazing goal that I was like, you know, all I can do is clap for you. So,
hey, Merrick Laporte was who was added last minute, came from Man City. He was eligible to play for France, but chose to play for Spain last minute. How's he performed so far?
He's performing amazing. He's not only that he came in the last minute. I mean, probably Luis Enrique told him, not only I'm going to bring you to the Euro, which is a huge step for him because, you know, he was not going to play with France. Not only that, he brought it and he probably promised him, and you know what? You're going to be one of my guys and you're going to play every single game. So not only he's been playing every single minute of every single game, on top of that, he scored one of the important goals against Slovakia. And, man, he's been playing really good.
Quite.
I think this Euro could be, I don't know if, how do you say, the kind of his way to a bigger club, like his step.
Yeah, he's a bigger club. Growing, yeah. My opinion of Spain, to be honest, Jaime, is that this is not the 2010 Spain. This is not the 08 through 2012. But they do have a chance in this bracket, you know, to make it to, you know, to go to like the next round. How would you compare this squad compared to the past squads?
Well, I mean, we need to be honest. Like the squad that we left during those, like, 6 years, literally, well, 4 years. It was, you know, there's nothing going to be like that again. Like, we probably will never see something like that. And that happens with all the national teams. Like, they have their time, and that's it. You need to enjoy that time because most likely they are not going to perform as well as they did. But in the other hand, it's true that after those amazing years, Spain started, you know, putting more effort and more money in the unders, like under 21, under 19, under 18. And we've been destroying. We've been winning every single tournament, or at least getting to the finals of every single tournament. So these guys, like Morata, you know, all these guys that they've been playing under 21s, Thiago, Morata, even Isco back in the times. So they demonstrate that now they are ready. Ferran, Dani Olmo, they've been recently won with Spain, and now they are ready. They want to, you know, win the big things, right?
Yeah.
With adults, right?
Absolutely. Okay. We mentioned about, you know, France and Laporte. France had a huge, probably the biggest knockout of the tournament so far, France losing to Switzerland and penalties. Switzerland went up 1-0. Then Benzema scored two goals, make it 3-1. Then Switzerland, last minute, scored two goals to tie up 3-3. And then in penalties, yeah, Mbappe missed. Were you surprised with this? I mean, I thought France started off well when they played against Germany, but then after that game, they weren't the same.
Yeah, no. I mean, France, they've been playing good. And one by one, we need to all recognize they have the best players in the world. Especially they brought in the last minute, like the same way that we brought Laporte, they brought Benzema, and they've been playing good, but we never expect they were gonna, you know, suffer with Switzerland. And I think, you know, like when you are winning 3-1, you need to focus on something else. And Deschamps, I think he didn't do the good substitutions right there. And maybe they underestimate the power of the Swiss guys. So
yeah, bringing in Koeman wasn't a good idea. Benzema added to the squad after 6 years. Do you think that was a smart decision, or it was not a good decision to bring him?
Oh, it was definitely an amazing decision. I think that when they banned him for that little incident that he has with Valbuena, of course, like, it was, you can ban him for a couple of years or for 1 year, but not for 6 years. That was too much. And of course, the Sams knew, like, hey, I'm going to play in the death squad, in the death group.
Which they all died.
And Germany. If I want to really pass that, because I might get out in the first round. And I don't know if you've been following like soccer for a long time, Santiago, but there's like a tradition that when you win the World Cup, the next competition, you're going down.
You're cursed. Only one team has killed that curse is Brazil.
It's like a curse. And it happened to France. I remember.
Happened to Spain, big time, out of the group stage.
Yeah.
Or was it the round of 16?
France in 2000, they won. But then when they came to the World Cup 2002, boom, out. Then it happened to Italy. Boom, out. Then it happened to Spain, out. And also Germany. It's been like that for a long time. So probably France was scared this was going to be their time again. So they were like, you know what? Let's bring the best players that we have for entire France. And yeah, they did it. And if I was a France fan, I would be happy. Because honestly, they did good. They did a good tournament. They scored amazing goals. And, you know, they've been fighting their best. But it was unlucky. Kylian Mbappe, one of the best, missed the last penalty.
Sesh, a team that we could definitely see in the same moving parts next year, because the World Cup is until next year, so things are looking good for them, even though they bowed out. Another big game, England 2-0 against mighty Germany. No, not scary or mighty Germany, just a regular Germany. Two last-minute goals from Harry Kane. Jaime, is it coming home?
That's what they like to sing. It's coming home. It's coming home. But I don't know. They are definitely gonna play the final at Wembley. So if I was them, I would have more than a reason to fight for this Euro Cup, because I know the celebration at Wembley with all the fans, it could be unique basically. But in the other hand, I don't think England is working in the top part. They have an amazing defense. They have an amazing goalkeeper. But the top part, the connections, I don't know. And I don't know what happened with Foden. He didn't play at all. Anything. I don't know. It was weird, but they won 2-0. Sterling saved them again with another goal of Harry Kane finally. And yeah, I mean, the fans are very happy. I didn't know that means so much to win Germany. I saw today a guy that he tattooed here in the arm, the 2-0 against Germany. I was like, wow, I didn't know that.
That's kind of crazy.
They were like so happy about the victory.
Any farewell to Joachim Löw, who left Germany and was rumored to go to Madrid for a bit. But what are your thoughts over his tenure? Over.
Well, it was amazing. He did what he was supposed to do, win. And, I mean, he won a World Cup, and he got to a couple of semifinals of Euro. So I feel like he did such an amazing job during all these years. So I cannot say anything about Joachim Löw. He's been doing it, I think, 16 years also, like 15 years. Because I remember he started already when we won that Euro Cup in 2008. Joachim Löw was the coach for Germany that we beat them with the Torres goal. And he's been doing amazing. I understand that there is times already where you need to make like a switch, a change. But if you think about it, I heard the other day, Joachim Löw was the second coach of Jürgen Klinsmann, like back in 2006. And then Flick, which is taking over our now, Hansi Flick, he's basically was the second coach for Joachim Löw. So that was kind of a coincidence, right?
Yeah, no, yeah, this definitely is kind of very common in the German world, where the assistants take over, or they continue that trend line, which has worked, because a lot of these German coaches stay there for a while. Bertie Vogts stayed for three cycles, I believe, two to three cycles, and the one previous as well. Frank Beckenbauer, I think he coached there for a bit. So, yeah, just quite interesting, the whole dynamic of the German team. Another team that bowed out early, Netherlands, lost against Czech Republic 2-0. Jaime, another good team, a lot of talent. Maybe because of Van Dijk not there. What are your thoughts over this Netherlands team?
Oh, I did not expect that one to happen. But honestly, after that handball, that it was like last man fall. So they obviously sent him off. So that was completely, you know, on level for Netherlands. And of course, Czech Republic took advantage. They've been playing amazing tournament. And, you know, Schick, this guy from Bayer Leverkusen, is on fire. So, of course, we all know that they are going to keep fighting. Now they play against Denmark. It's not that difficult. I totally see these guys making it to the semifinals. And I don't know if you remember again, but 1996 in a Euro Cup, Czech Republic made it to the final. So who knows? Maybe it's another chance in their lifetime.
It could happen, of course, again. And Czech Republic will meet the Denmark team on July 3rd. The other games that happened this past week, Italy beating Austria 2-1 in extra time. A little bit shocked. I thought, you know, like Italy was better than this. But, of course, I mean, Austria is pretty good. What are your thoughts over that match?
Well, it was a tough match for Italy. It was very, very, you know, very tight game. But, you know, Italy had better players, I feel. Austria did amazing. They actually were in the group with Ukraine and Holland. So that was a tough group. But at the end of the day, you know, they have more individual players that makes a difference. Like Chiesa. Federico Chiesa, he's been doing an amazing tournament. Also had a great year with Juventus, and with that goal, of course, he's already touching the sky. Now, when you score a goal like that, trust me, you know already you're gonna play the next game in the 11 star. So.
Another game yesterday, Ukraine beating Sweden 2-1. Close match, but Ukraine pulled it off.
Yeah, it was a close match. They went to the extra time, and they actually scored in the last minute of the extra time. Oof. So that was lucky.
You know what they should do is, I mean, like, they should bring back the golden goal.
I know, right? I love it. I love it. I love it.
And
you know that Czech Republic that I told you from 1996?
Yeah.
They lost the final against Germany, and Germany scored Oliver Bierhoff. I will never forget. He scored a golden goal.
I remember that.
I remember it was like crazy. It was like, wow, golden goal. Like the game is over. It's so fun. I really like it. I think they should bring it back.
Was your favorite Euro Cup, was it 08 or 2012?
I will say 2008 because, you know, we never won. Well, we won one in the 60s. I was not even born. But that one, for Spanish fans, it was like crazy.
It was huge.
Like seeing Spain in a final. We never went through more than quarterfinals. For us, really? It was like, it was every tournament was very tough because, you know, Spain was going to be there in the tournament. Maybe they were going to pass the first round, but always out every single year. And finally, 2008 was like our year. And we also beat Italy, I think, like one of those games. Yeah, the quarterfinals was against Italy. Once that we beat Italy in penalties, every Spanish guy was like, this is our chance. This is our time.
And that was the beginning of something great. Lastly, Denmark beating Wales 4-0. Anything to say about that?
Well, all I can say is I think they are fighting for Eriksen. That's,
yeah.
I think they have it not only in their hearts, they have it in their mind. They have it in, you know, in every practice.
Motivation.
You can tell that's the motivation to win this tournament for Denmark. And, man, Denmark, they are champions. They won in 1992, so
that's right.
they can do it again. Who knows?
With Peter Schmeichel.
Peter Schmeichel now is his son. And, you know, like they have good guys. This guy, Dahlberg, apparently he's been playing for Ajax. I never saw this guy before. And look, he scored 2 goals the other day. So surprise, right?
Maybe move to a bigger club typically. All right. So let's go into predictions, Jaime. Switzerland versus Spain. Of course, Switzerland beat France. There's some motivation. What have you been hearing from Spain? How serious are they going to take Switzerland?
Well, I feel they are going to take it very serious just because what happened with France. But I feel Spain is better. And not only that, for Switzerland, they are not going to be able to come with Xhaka, which I think is the best player they have. So I feel we have a little advantage to win that game. But who knows? I will not be surprised if they beat us, I'm telling you.
Give us a score line.
I would say 2-1 for Spain.
An extra time, I got a feeling.
No. No? Please, no.
Regulation.
Another heart attack, please, no.
Italy versus Belgium. Italy, you know, is, you know, has a lot of momentum, but this time they're playing in Munich. What's going to happen there? Cool. Belgium also has some momentum coming in. This is going to be a good match.
That's going to be a battle, Santiago. I don't know, man. I have the feeling with Belgium and Lukaku, and I don't know. Like, I feel like, you know, Italy's also been doing great things. So it's going to be literally a battle. I feel it's going to be a tough game. They are going to go with everything because in one side, Belgium, it will be historic. They never won anything. They never won a World Cup or a Euro Cup. So this is their chance. This is their generation. They've been doing great things during the last World Cups and the last Euros. And they know they are very close to touch what they won, the final. But at the same time, every time you play against Italy, you know you play against history. So I don't know. What do you think, Santiago?
I'm hoping for Italy. Give me your prediction. Italy to go through. I think Italy's playing. Like their last game was a little bit questionable. But I'm thinking that Italy might pull this off. Gosh, I hate to say 2-1, but it might be going penalties. Hopefully not.
I'm going to bet for Belgium and you bet for Italy. I like that.
Yeah. Now, Belgium has Thorgan Hazard. I never heard of him. I thought there were just one Hazard. Now there's a guy named Thorgan Hazard. What do you think about that player?
Yeah, he plays for Borussia Dortmund. He's been doing a good year with Borussia. He even played the Champions League. And he's been doing good. He's not as good as his brother. But as of right now, as of today, I think he's better than his brother.
Oh, of course.
Just because the fact that his brother is not doing what they expect from him. But anyways, I think his injury also for the game against Italy. Again, another injury. I've been suffering so much, so many of those injuries during this year as a Madrid fan. But yeah, I feel Thorgan Hazard, he's not going to have the key, but he might have that pass for Lukaku.
Jaime, what's going to happen between Czech Republic versus Denmark?
So in that, I feel Denmark is going to continue, but I don't know. Czech Republic, man, they're playing good.
You like Czech Republic.
And they have this guy, Schick, he's scoring a lot of goals. That definitely, I think, is going to be a tough, it's a very tight game. And I'm going to go with Czech Republic.
Czech Republic. I'll go with the Danes. Kasper Schmeichel, Leicester City. Finally, Ukraine versus England in Rome. Jaime, is this, I mean, I've been hearing a lot of the English press say it's going to be an easy match for England. Do you say the same?
No, and not only that, I did my bets this morning with my best friend Nacho from Dame Bola, and I told him, listen, I think Ukraine is gonna pass.
No way.
He was laughing at me. He's like, are you kidding me? How they're gonna pass? I'm like, I'm telling you only one factor. They are not playing Wembley. They playing at Rome. And Shevchenko, he knows how to beat England, trust me. So if I need to bet money, I will bet for England. But if I need to bet as a friend and as a football knowledge, I think Ukraine is going to take this game.
Score line.
I'm going to say... I'm going to say 1-0.
1-0 in second half, extra time?
For a second half, yeah.
Second half.
For you. For Ukraine. Yeah.
I'm going to say England 2-1. And if they go and win that, Jaime, I'm probably going to say they might go to the final. If they win this, they're going to the final.
Well, they need to play the semis.
Yeah, semis, but that semis will be – well, Denmark will be tough for England.
Let's see.
We'll see what happens. But, yeah, there you have it. The quarterfinals begin tomorrow, Friday, July 2nd. With the first game being Spain and Switzerland, then Belgium, Italy, and then on Saturday, Denmark, Czech Republic, and then England, Ukraine. You can watch that on ESPN or Univision. Looking forward to it. Before we go, Copa America, your thoughts? Quick synopsis.
Well, Copa America is excited. Also, tomorrow we have amazing games, Brazil against Chile, then Saturday, Argentina against Ecuador. I mean, the way that they made it, you know, we call it la llave in Spanish, like
the key, the...
Yeah, the tournament, the...
Yeah, like the format.
The format, the way they made it.
Yeah.
It seems like it's going to be Argentina-Brazil in the final.
Yeah, like the bracket, yeah.
The bracket, that's the word. Sorry.
Yeah, it's going to be happening.
I feel it's going to be Argentina-Brazil the final. Also, I feel like Messi wants this back. So I feel Argentina is going to fight till the last minute for that.
Yeah, last dance,
Since you're asking me about that, I also have a question for you. Well, a prediction for you before. What do you think is going to happen for the top scorer in the Euro Cup?
Because
so far it's Ronaldo. But
well, he's out.
Ronaldo he's out now. So let me read it to you.
Okay.
And then I want you to tell me who is going to be the top scorer.
Go for it.
Ronaldo has right now 5, right?
Right.
The second one we have is Schick, which he has 4.
Uh-huh.
They play against Denmark, remember?
Yeah.
The next one is Benzema. He's out. Fosberg, he's out with 4 also. Lewandowski's out with 3. And then we have this guy from Switzerland. He's Seferovic, 3 goals. And Sterling 3, Lukaku 3. So what are your thoughts?
I think it's either going to be Sterling going up or Harry Kane will be the goal scorer.
But for the total, Harry Kane has only 1. You think he's going to have time to come back?
Well, then probably Raheem Sterling then because he has 3. So he's been scoring almost every game or every other game, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's scoring 3 games out of 4. But I'm going to go with Lukaku.
Of course he would. before we go, Nuno Espirito Santo going to Tottenham. Quick reaction on that.
Well, it's a good signing because he knows the Premier League. He's been doing things really good with the Wolves. And now it's a big chance for him to show everybody that he's able to do it. He also used to coach in Valencia also.
He did.
For only a couple of months or for a year. He did not good there, but he has a big chance now. I mean, he's going to pass for coaching good guys to stars. I mean, Tottenham has really, really amazing players. And I feel Tottenham is going to build a better team than what he has now. The reason I'm telling you is because I feel like they are going to sell Kane. And with the money of Harry Kane, I feel they're going to move in the European market and grab something from France, something from Italy, something from Spain, and they are going to build a good team. That's my thought.
Only if they sell Harry Kane.
And, of course, Portuguese guys.
I mean,
we saw it already with the Wolves. So don't be surprised if Tottenham starts signing tomorrow a lot of Portuguese guys.
Which is what they did at Wolverhampton. So it would be kind of similar to that. Messi is a free agent. Is that something we should be concerned, or do you think he'll sign with Barcelona eventually?
I mean, I think he's going to stay with Barcelona, but it's true. Yesterday in your favorite program, El Chiringuito, they were talking and they were breaking down the numbers of how Messi is going to get paid from now on. And there's a couple of things that doesn't look very nice there.
There's some concerns.
Like very concerns. There's clarifications with, you know, the tax. How do you say, like, the tax?
Yeah, like the tax rate.
Yeah, there is going to be a problem.
Yeah, Spain likes to tax their players, don't they?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Money for everybody.
Football is the topic of this podcast. Euros continue tomorrow. Copa America as well. Anyways, Jaime Fernandez, what is the best way to reach you to talk to you about Los Galácticos?
To talk about everything that's related with soccer and life in general, you can reach me through Instagram. Our Instagram right now is Dame Bola, which is, I mean, we just created at the beginning of the Euro. We're very happy. So go ahead, Dame Bola Podcast. You're going to love it, guys. And I hope you like what we do there. It's in Spanish, but it's okay.
Yes, definitely. It's a great podcast insight. Now, after the Euros, this is my question. Is the podcast going to be geared towards La Liga news topics, or is it going to be Premier League and everything else? Like, what's the plan for that?
If I told you, I would need to. No, I'm just kidding. No, I feel we're gonna focus in La Liga and the Champions League, which are for us, for my friend and I, the big tournaments, because we grew up with La Liga and we're up in Spain and we love La Liga. But of course, we will look around the Premier League a lot. We will look about big games in Italy, big games in Germany. So we will do a little bit of everything, but main focus, La Liga and Champions League. Yeah.
And of course, you can reach us at the Sportscast at thesportscast.net or on our Twitter at the Sportscast1. And tomorrow we'll have a NBA NFL recap. A lot going on in sports. I actually watched Los Galácticos on ESPN Plus. Now I have a better understanding what happened in the mid-2000s when they signed Luis Figo, then Beckham, Ronaldo. That team was stacked. And what they were kind of mentioning that the Galácticos full of stars and everything, very expensive team, that they didn't win a European championship while they were together.
Well, while they were together, no. But Zidane with Figo, they won one.
Okay. Makes sense.
The problem was, like, they brought Ronaldo and they were like, oh my God, now with Ronaldo even better, we were thinking as Real Madrid fans that we were going to do what we just did, like, in 2016, 17, and 15, like winning three Champions League in a row. That team was supposed to do that, but they didn't. They actually lost a couple of finals together. You know, we lost like in the round of quarterfinals and for three consecutive years.
Yeah, and that one loss against Arsenal and also how like the team changed like the whole dynamic when Florentino Perez came in and made Madrid more of like a international global brand, and it surpassed Man United, and then he resigned I think around 07. And he felt like he didn't do a good job and everything. Came back around 09, 10, and then started winning championships.
Oh, no, it was amazing. It was amazing. What Florentino did and what he's doing, he's not changing the club, but he's adapting to the future.
Modernizing the game.
Exactly, and that's some of the problems that a lot of teams has. Like, they have a lot of tradition, but they don't adapt to what is coming. And there is a lot of discussion about the Super League, but I'm telling you, if a guy like Florentino seeing this league possible, it's because, you know, something is going on. Like, it's because he doesn't have all the trust in UEFA, and maybe he feels for clubs like Real Madrid is better to do a league like that. So I don't know. I will always defend Florentino because He's a good guy. He's a good businessman.
Yeah, and with after seeing that, I really do think Superliga will happen, but maybe not now, but maybe in a few years or so. So, anyways, Jaime, we'll talk about Superliga in another podcast. Thanks for coming on, and viva!
Thanks for inviting me, Santiago.
No problem, man. Viva España!
Viva España! Let's see. Let's pray for the next round.
Bye.